following program, in no way, shape, or form, illustrates, elucidates, or even states the position of the management, Mr. Shepherd, or other thinking person. It's merely, let us put it this way, the zeitgeist of the time in which we live. Being echoed through the poor southern people up their mind, Tony. It's got to be loud. They get nervous when they loud. It's a... You know, everybody's nervous unless there's a lot of stuff coming out. I just wonder how many people just flip if their TV set isn't on, just on when they're there. You know, going quack, 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 quack. Picture flapping over and automatic can opener going in the kitchen. Just keep it going, you know, you've got cans to open, you know. Just, you love the sound. It's the sound of electronic action. And so we tonight, once again, leap into the saddle of a vast communicative medium. And begin to communicate one to one, you and me. Let the brightness be the brilliant star of our show, me.
Come on, just keep it up. I'm playing with these guys. Don't fade them out.
Yes, we just... Hello, testing. I have a very disturbing report here. Very disturbing. We've just gotten a notification of a very expensive national, area-wide, city-wide, block-wide, people-wide, house-wide survey of listening in the radio here. And you know what it turns out? Oh, this is after all this work... Well, let's be honest. I've got one listener. It's just me and you, friend. I say to hell with the rest, right? I mean, tell you, let's do. It's kind of ridiculous since it's just me and you, you know what? What we ought to do is after the show, go out and have a cup of coffee, have a rally, huh? Just you and me. Oh, I knew it had to come to this.
Well, of course, this is the way it is. The world is full of slobs, right? Idiots, fools, knaves. There aren't many of us intelligent, sensitive, smart people. We just aren't. I mean, let's face it. I mean, this is the dildock age, you know? Just the few of us who are truly concerned, who are really sensitive. Even my engineer is sitting in there reading Superman comics. Had the monitor turned down after 4 years. They don't know. You know, that's... Have you ever wondered, friend... out there, how I get away with all the stuff I get away with? It's because nobody listens, just you and me. That's right, I could say anything. And tonight I may just say it. Well, that means then that you, friend, must like what I'm doing, or you wouldn't be the only one listening. So, excuse me. There, he's put his comic book down. Excuse me now, if you please will give me a little of that background accompaniment. The sound of total defeat, friend. Oh, no, never look on it that way. Oh, no. The human spirit must live on, and we're the only two that are keeping it alive. Right? That's right. My God, the way of the martyr has never been easy. There are only a few geniuses, or do you prefer genii, created in any given age. We happen to be living in an age when there are a damn lot fewer than other ages. Hey, come on, Tony. Don't only, please, don't chicken out. Then just reset it then. That's all you got to do. Here we go. All together now. Let's go. Let's tap dance. What do you say, friend? Together. Rest with tense. It's the damn knee again. Not bad. Thank you, Tony. Hold it. That's enough, since, you know, it's Just the two of us, Whitman. You don't have to worry about stuff like production and stuff anymore, right? We don't have to have any of this phony business, right, friend? We're past that. All right, I'll tell you what we can do. We might as well talk about stuff that's, it's been kind of kicking around in my mind a long time. That if there were a lot of listeners, obviously I couldn't do it. I mean, the Dildocs, if they ever tune in, then we're in trouble. So maybe it's a blessing in disguise. You ever look upon it that way? You realize what would happen if all those people who are watching Johnny Carson and we believing in Victor Borger? Do you realize what that would do to us if they suddenly decided to listen to this point of the dial at one more? My God almighty, there would be bonfires in the streets of Staten Island. Talk about crucifixions. Well, six of one, half dozen the other, I always say. What do you say? Gee, that was a smart one you just said. Penny saved his penny. I never heard it put that way. Actually, gives you food for thought, right? That's a nice metaphor. Food for thought. George, you're clever. Well, I'll say this, though. I was up in Alaska, and you tend to contemplate your navel when you're on the edge of the frontier. You do. And if you find your navel lacking and you're sitting around there contemplating, you find you have not only an ineffective but a somewhat repulsive navel, then, that's bad news. You've always heard about naval contemplation, haven't you? It has nothing to do with reviewing the fleet. George, that was bad, wasn't it? George, it's just the kind of thing that Don Rickles would have said at $7,000 a word. I mean, can any of you explain Don Knotts to me? Well, it's very hard. I suppose it's always that problem. You never can explain religions. I had one lady for 3 hours try to convert me to Phyllis Dillerism, which is almost like trying to convert me to wearing space shoes and eating carrots to correct, whatever ails you. But it's not easy. I suppose if you believe, you believe. There's no way. I suppose a crowd of people who believe in talking porpoises and friendly bears and... Yeah, I mean, you've seen those TV shows, Lassie, for example. It's a very interesting show. I noticed that Lassie has the Portnoy complaint syndrome now. Okay, they're updating Lassie. Lassie's blaming her mother now for all her problems, I mean, she could have just as easily been born a Doberman pincer, which, by the way, is much more stylish today than a collie. Collies are out of date. Too romantic. I mean, you look at a collie, it's ridiculous. It's like Mary Pickford. Saying out loud. Gloria Swanson. I mean, there's a certain rococo quality to certain dogs. Have you ever thought about that? You ever thought that that our aesthetic value does not today accept, say, for example, the collie, classic example. Collies were big in 1928, Albert Payson Terhoon. And today, we go more for different types of dogs. Mastiffs, for example. This is a whole new thing. German Shepherds, tear your leg right off rather than look at you, Oh, yeah. Find a friendly German Shepherd and you have discovered an Uncle Tom among German Shepherds, right? I grew up with a dog named King next door to me, and he took his name literally. In fact, within 2 months, he convinced everybody in the neighborhood he was. In fact, he was. Have you ever seen a dog eat a 616 tire, just eat it? I mean, and digest it. You think you've seen messes. Oh, well. Six of one, half dozen. What are you going to do? Just us two, so it doesn't matter, does it, friend? speaking of this problem, which we both have, I was up in Alaska, as I said, Tony. Tony, when he's on, the only way I can get Tony to listen is talk about Alaska. So if you've wondered how I picked the certain subjects that I occasionally will touch on my show, it's to keep the engineer listening. This is quite true. From time to time, I'll do an electronic show, and all the engineers will listen, see. And you wondered why, this bored the hell out of you out there, sitting out there, Average person has trouble, taking the top off aspirin bottles. It's too technical. I've known people who will go for years, and they won't buy beer, for example, in cans, because they've never been able to figure out how to work that thing, see? I'm serious. Let's face it, most people have no manual dexterity at all. As a matter of fact, a lot of people are trapped by WOR for that reason. That in 1932, some smart person tuned their radio to WOR, and it's been there ever since. They don't know how to tune the damn thing off, All I know is pull out the plug. When you don't want to hear gambling, stick it in when you do. That's the end of it, see? So that's why they'll write. A W-O-R, is there such a thing as a W-O-R listener? That's ridiculous. That's a ridiculous idea. You know, that's like saying there is a John Wayne moviegoer, which means he doesn't go to any other movies unless John Wayne's there. And I say that's a sad, sad way to look at things. Have you ever realized what unbelievably wonderful things are going on in the dial all around me? And you're sitting here listening to this glop. Well, other people have thought about it, and that's why it's just you and me, friend. Right? That's right. Why, there's hardly anybody that can get out. Yeah. Who can resist the endless blatherings of, a rock DJ? The overweening ego of the rock DJ who somehow believes that he personally created the Stones. This is beautiful. This is wonderful entertainment. And, part of it, it's the whole thing. Who can resist the impulse to listen with great interest, if not fascination, to endless people being interviewed by endless lady interviewers about their bad plays, which are now being done at the Armpit Theater, and which, if the reviewers were smart, would have said it's groovy. But since, that's the establishment, the hell with them. That's exciting, isn't it, life? Yours. But it is. It really is, friend. That's what bugs a lot of people. Most people are afraid of excitement because it's dangerous. You know, excitement is only obtainable through danger. Period. And so since most people are very afraid of danger, most people are very suspicious of excitement. But not you and me, right, friend? Not you and me. No, sir. How many angels, incidentally, may I ask you? Please. How many angels, may I ask you, do dance on the head of a pin? I mean, we keep putting in, yes, that's right, that's probably true, one. And, of course, then you have to say, who's angel? And then the next question is, what do you mean, who's angel? I'm here, right? And so, there it goes again. This, as part of our vast, overwhelming public service programming, is a program devoted entirely and completely and exclusively to your ego, which, as we know, is not an ego at all. It's just a careful, honest assessment of your value to an uncomprehending, insensitive society, right? There ain't no such thing as ego. There's only, real truth. It's the other guys that got ego, the ridiculous oafs, right? You just have an understanding of yourself. Yeah, so it ain't so bad being you. Just think, you could have been born a dope. You could have been born a dildo. All together now, here we go, to the second chorus. Little Jew's hype here wouldn't hurt, right? Come on, Tony, don't keep fading it out. You just keep it up full volume. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Tony. That's enough. Give them too much. My God, they want everything. All right. This is your friendly neighborhood, totally concerned station, WOR. And we're in Fun City here. Fun City, let's see, is that Punxsutawney? No. Of course not. This is the Big Apple. This is where it's all happening. We got the most beautiful mayor in the world. We got the most beautiful everything in the world. The beautiful people. You just can't imagine beautiful people living in, say, Oshkosh. Silly. We got the beautiful people, the beautiful mayor, the whole bit. And, it's kind of good to be living here at the apex of civilization. No, really. I often have a moment of quiet contemplation. There it goes. Damn it. And he keeps going out. poor man. Sometimes have moments of quiet contemplation when I think with great commiseration and perhaps a touch of sorrow and a little, of course, all-encompassing love for my less fortunate human beings, who are forced to live in such, benighted, out-of-the-way cesspots as, say, Waterville, Maine. Oh, my God. Or, Okilelik, Florida. Imagine, or Eulalie, Mississippi. Oh, they're out there. How about a moment of contemplation and a silent prayer for their souls? Okay, that's enough concern for tonight. I say good enough for them, right? And by the way, I'd like to report the development which I think many of you may approve of. I think I reported this a couple nights ago. I think it bears repeating because it's so symbolic of our time. This was handed out just outside of one of the major halls at Columbia recently. Fun City. It says you can now buy a authentic plastic marijuana plant. It's now an authentic marijuana plant. You know, authentic plastic marijuana. You don't want to get one of those phony plastic marijuana plants. Nothing like an authentic one. Yeah, that's like virgin polyethylene. That's always a good phrase, too. But, of course, you know, I don't want to bring up dirty words. None of you are interested in sex, right? I'm talking to you and the engineer. I know where he stands. I'm not sure about you, friend. Oh, yeah, he was chased 4 blocks one day by a shrap waitress. In spite of the fact he had a wooden leg, I'll tell you, it was a fantastic move. Oh, well. Oh, yeah, you know, he just reached over the counter, you know. You know how they do. Sorry, I mean, you have no idea what juice flows in the veins of an electronic cuckoo. But when, you know, the proper button is touched. As a matter of fact, one of my closest associates, who's a tremendously dedicated electronic nut, also is a fanatical collector of porny movies. Yeah, right. You know, he's only interested. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry, honey. He's only interested in the technical problem, Bob. He's interested in how they photograph them, the sound sync, and all that. Never talks about that fantastic scene up in Lil's room. You know, when the guy with the black mustache shows up. No, no. He makes no aesthetic values. I'm sorry. That I think is a man with an open mind. By the way, speaking of open minds, yeah, with the black socks. That's an important thing. Yes, indeed. Hey, that looks familiar. Put your foot up again there. Did you have a career before you joined us, Tony? No wonder you wear black glasses. Yes, indeed. Do you speak French by any chance? I think I saw you at the American Legion Hall one night. You had a thing called a smoker there, huh? Well, you know, everybody does his thing, right? Right. Well... A silly show, but, you know, speaking of silly problems, I was up in Alaska. The reason I'm like this is because, you know, I was thoroughly thrown off by this whole trip I had made up to Alaska. You get on the edge of the wilderness, you know, and you do start to contemplate your navel. And did I tell you about the guy out in Euclid, Ohio, who was in Popular Mechanics once? I thought he'd be a guy that I would love to meet. That he, for over, and he was a man in his late 70s, for over 50 years had collected the lint from his navel. And he finally was able to stuff a heart-shaped pillow with navel lint, which is extremely rare. I mean, a pillow shape. The navel lint is rather common, but it's... I'm just telling you, I don't make the news, friends. Don't get mad. I don't make life, you know. I didn't invent sex or anything. If I happen to refer to it, don't get mad at me. There it is. I mean, you know... Not my problem. What you need is a new washer. But nevertheless, this is a Newburgh, New York, is a problem that, you know, I think shows many of our values today. I repeat here. In fact, I'm going to read it to you just as it comes in the United Press International. Maybe you missed it. Oh, yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, well, I'll leave that one till later there, you know, when you've left. Then I can really say it. Here we go at Newburgh, New York. Big Nell's Newburgh, New York's legendary brothel. Well, let's say it. The House of Ill... I'm sorry. The engineer just left. It's only you and me, and now watch. I'm going to have trouble with the gain now. All right. Here it is. Big Nell's Newburgh's legendary brothel is scheduled to be rehabilitated and preserved with urban renewal funds. While its backdoor neighbor, the historic, going back to the 18th century, listen, you haven't heard the rest of the story, the historic Dutch Reformed Church has been placed in the demolition area. According to a copyrighted story in the Middletown Times-Herald Record, federal funds will be made available to Big Nels under the existing plan to bring the six-bedroom house at 71-75 Montgomery Street up to its original, unbelievable, beautiful, plush-lined snuff, the newspaper reported. The only serious effort to save the church is coming from a private preservation group, which is attempting to have it classified as a natural historic site. I mean, you know. Maps at the city's urban renewal office, located within 50 feet of Big Nels, clearly shows the boundary between rehabilitation and demolition areas skimming a narrow path between the church and the House of Ill Fame. The information was treated as a surprise by Newburgh City, you know, city officials. Oh, no, they said. No, really? George, who said that they were astonished by the fact that Big Nels is operating full tilt with fully no security measures. Would you please? I don't know what security measures you have in a house of ill fame, but please. So tonight, we would like to take this opportunity to salute both the Dutch Reformed Church and Big Nels. It's part of our vast programming of public service where we salute various community activities. Somehow this fits right in the ante room with Big Nels, doesn't it? By the way, Big Nell herself says she has not applied for a federal urban renewal grant. Well, I like you. I didn't apply for nothing, Big Nell said. Got right down to it, didn't you? Big Nell, classified by the city building inspectors as a one-family home with 16 occupants, has been operating with only occasional interruptions for about 20 years. I think I'm being railroaded, Nell said when reached by telephone for comment. I don't know what Newport's trying to do to me, but I'm willing to sell my house and get the hell out of Newport, Newburgh, because I'm being misused. That's the way it is, Nell. They're after everybody today. Sounds to me like you've got a pretty... I haven't gotten an urban renewal grant, and I certainly could be renewed. Says Major George F. McNeely, City Manager Theodore W. Maurer, and Councilman George J. Shaw all say that they recently passed reports on the police chief, Humbert Capelli, that the bordello was operating. Of course, the chief was surprised, too. Shaw... All those guys in the doorways find out all that stuff. Shaw told the Times Herald Record he was outraged. He said, it's hard to imagine how Big Nels can operate without police protection. Capelli denied knowledge of being, you know, any payola. He said, I can't be everywhere at once. We've been working on this drug problem. I do a lot of things now that I'm chief, but one thing I don't get involved with is going around personally raiding brothels. Capelli said. Apparently nobody else does either. So that ends tonight's salute to Newburgh. Indeed. But you know that I didn't invent it. Now don't get mad at me. I'm just reading. There it is. Saul there, you know, United Press International. Get in touch with them, friend. Tell them, you know. But nevertheless, that reminds me of something. And since it's, you know, Friday, I suppose I can be honest about it. That guys up in Alaska, you know, you probably have all read these poems by Robert Service and all that about a lady what's known as Lou. And, you know, of course, you know, we've grown up watching Western movies. And since we've watched Western movies, we have many people, I'm sure, have the complete belief that there was a hell of a lot of dancing girls out there in those places where those guys come into town on the horses, you know, wore those black hats and stuff. You know, dancing girls. And it always shows a bunch of guys, you know, tough-looking guys, like Jack Palance and Gabby Hayes and all these guys sitting around. And up on the stage are these, 17 girls led by Claire Trevor. And they're all dancing, see? That's apparently all that goes on in the old Silver Dollar, right? I bet a lot of... You know, I wonder how many people... Hey, hold it. Thank you, Tony. Hold it there. I wonder how many people miss the symbolism of movies. I mean, don't take them literally. In other words, I wonder how many people really believe that Melville was a fishing story. And it was about a whale. You do, huh? Well, that's right. You would. But I'm just curious how many people actually believe that there were dancing girls all over the West. I'm sure there are a lot. What do you mean? I saw that movie. And, you know, of course, people tend to take movies very seriously anyway. They really believe that something's made into a movie. That's true. That's really the way it is. Well, yeah, oh, that's one of the great myths of our times. See, that it's funny how we laugh at myths of other ages, you know. Hardly anybody would accept things like, you know, the Red Sea parting and stuff like walking in water. That's a myth of another age, see. And they'll laugh at the myths, they'll say, of the 19th century, you know, like the Bobbsey twins, Horatio Alger and all that. But they'll really buy Dustin Hoffman. You know? It's just, no, it's not a myth. It's the way it is. Yeah, absolutely. MASH is a great movie. It's really about the Army. Oh, come on. Mythology is mythology is mythology. To quote that pundit Earl Wilson. It was Earl Wilson who said it. Didn't he say a dandelion is a dandelion? No, that was somebody else. That was Gertie. What was her name? Gertrude Stein. Yeah, oh, yes, of course. Thank you very much. Yeah, indeed. I measure out my life by coffee cups. Coffee spoons endlessly marching. Ape Man Sweeney. Rose Franken, are you sure it wasn't Dr. Rose Franzblau? Maybe you're confused, because they all tend to, I keep confusing, poor Abby or little Abby. For years I confused Dear Abby with little Nell. The two of them sort of, Dear Abby. Is that her first name, Dear? That's a strange name. I've heard of her as named Fawn, but Dear. Dear Abby. Abby is Greek, isn't it? No, that's a French name. It's A-B-B-E-Y. No, A-B-B-E, umlaut. Yeah, Dear Abby. Well, of course, this is all part of our time. I confuse Virginia Graham with Rose Franzblau. Oh, no, you can't confuse Virginia Graham. No. I keep confusing Virginia Graham with that foghorn down at 23rd Street that goes off when they have the fire alarms, but that's something else. That's me. A lady of infinite taste. However, the taste is of no consequence in the age of the barbarian, is it, friends? Of course not. When Attila the Hun burped, he belched. That's the end of it. He was honest. Of course, he was also a slob. That's right. Yeah, indeed. But, getting back to this problem of the houses of ill fame. When I was in Alaska, a lot of you have read about Robert Service and all. And you've read these stories, and, they're just sort of stories. But, you get up in the dome, and they ain't stories. It's just plain, ordinary, unvarnished fact. But the wind does blow like the fiends of hell out of the north. And the northern lights do play like the great sheets of lightning from the devil's cauldron. They do, And when it's 70 below, figures do stagger out of the dark with a crumpled bag of gold dust covered with stubble. Not the gold dust, you fool. The trouble with you is you're not literary enough, You're too... Let's put it this way. There's a big difference between being literary and literal. You have the literal problem. And nevertheless, I'm walking around, the streets of Nome, and Albro B. Gregory, the editor of the Nome Nugget, comes up to me and he says, I got a hobby. And I said, you have? He says, yeah, I collect beer bottles. I said, beer bottles? I know guys that do that. I mean, they collect them, use them, do everything with beer bottles. I fist fight the whole bit. Beer bottles are important. He says, no, I collect beer bottles. And he says, you want to go out with me collecting? I said, go out with you in Nome collecting beer bottles? And by the way, we are saying this from the Board of Trade, Bar, which is replete with millions of beer bottles in various stages of undress and, emptying and all, and drunken Eskimos, the whole bit. He says, yes. I said, well, where do you collect beer bottles? Albro. It's very embarrassing to call a guy Albro B. Gregory. And he said, no, that's all right. You call me Albro B. Gregory. That's what my friends call me. And I said, well, call me James Parker Shepherd, which is not my name, but I prefer to go under that up here because, you got fistfights on the streets of Nome. If they found out your name is spelled with a J, God only knows, I'd have to start that whole thing all over again. I beat up 42 guys in one afternoon because my name started with a J once at the Morton Junior High School. And you can see, Barbara, by the shoulders I've got, that I could do it. I did. I ground guys' noses into the ground. That's how I got so tough. If my name was Normie, you know, like Mailer, I would never have those problems, you know? No, nobody ever made Norman Naylor fight because his name was Normie. That's a common, ordinary name in Staten Island along Flatbush Avenue, you know? But that's another story, and so it is. It is indeed. And so I'm sitting there in the Board of Trade bar, and, you know, I'm doing what you always have to do in a bar. Well, let's put it this way. I'm doing what I wanted to do in the bar. And I'm sitting there with two fingers of fine bourbon in front of me, and Albro says, let's go out and collect beer bottles. And I said, what do you mean? Now, you're going to hear an interesting story, friends. Listen carefully. Don't let your attention wander. I know you're dreaming of Johnny Carson at this moment and what groovy things he's saying to Zsa Zsa Gabor, but she won't be saying this. Albro B. Gregory said, one of the big hobbies up here among us, you know, old-timers in Alaska, is to go where the old houses of ill fame were back at the time of the gold rush. The ruins are there, actually. But many of these places, you know, have been 100 years, 70 years, or whatever it is, many of these places have just been reduced to ruins. There's nothing there anymore, see? And he says, and you go out back of where they were, and you dig deep into the permafrost. And he says, you will find fantastic things, including such things as 1880 bourbon bottles. You know, the kind of stuff, the real stuff. Now, for example, you see guys like, you know, you see Gary Cooper walk into the, you know, the Silver Dollar. He walks in, and there's always the bartender. You know, those bartenders are always sort of fat, bald guys in all the movies you see in the West. And you know, before the next scene is over, that mirror behind him is going to be broken. You know that. That's a movie classical move. And somebody, by the way, in the ensuing fight is going to fall off the balcony and through the railing. You know that. Well, Gary walks in and the bartender says, what do you have? And Gary says, whiskey. Right? Well, he never pours the whiskey for him. He puts the bottle out. He goes, clunk. And with that, Gary pours himself a snifter in this little glass, and he drains it like that, see? You notice he never goes, oh, my God, the stuff is nothing. No, he just drains it. Well, that's because Gary's actually drinking cold tea. Now, if Gary ever to try that with real whiskey, the kind that they served on the frontier at Nome, he couldn't conceivably have gotten away with that, no matter how tough he was. Guy's socks have been known to burst into flame. Just, you know, trying to chug along one shot of Nome whiskey. Why? Well, it's usually about 3 days old, for one thing. And what do they brew the alcohol out of? Well, usually a combination of rotting potatoes, toad skins, anything that they can get to ferment. Then they strain it through a burlap sack. You're curious what kind of whiskey they actually drank in the West? They would strain it through a burlap sack, and then they would take something like perhaps a spoonful of vanilla to mix it up to make it brown colored. See, that gives it the quality of age, see? And would you believe it now? Listen to what they used to do. They used to take black powder, gunpowder, and mix it with black powder. This is a nitrate, which is guaranteed to make your old eyeballs pop right out of your skull, see? They'd mix this stuff up, and they'd pour it into a barrel, and two guys would grab each end of the barrel and shake it, you know, like a great big mix master, and they're shaking up the whiskey. And then they would set it out there for a while and let all the crud float to the bottom, right? And then they would pour it off that barrel and pour it into these bottles. That's the end of the story. They just pour it off. They'd stick corks in the top, and then they'd put it on the shelf. And then Gary would walk in and say, whiskey. He'd pour this stuff. And, of course, that's what he wanted. And if any guy bought whiskey that went down smooth, he'd be bugged. That's right. That's like buying, satin, silky sandpaper. You don't want it. You want that shot in the head, see? So old Gary walks in down the hatch. Well, now, what happened? Those bottles were used over and over. Did you know that they didn't throw the bottles away like today? Of course, the bottles were used over and over and over again and refilled and refilled. And some of them may be 15, 20 years old.
on the old shelf there and have been used by thousands and thousands of miners who'd come in and say, whiskey, you know? Well, then eventually the play sort of deteriorates, you know, 20th century comes in, Thomas E. Dewey tries to run, Calvin Coolidge shows up and the whole bit, everything changes, the beautiful people come on the scene, the old West is gone, right? But the bottles remain. Deep in the sands, behind, you know, Big Myrtle's joint, Old Mabel's joint. That's right. And you know, living up there in Nome, I saw one, living up there in Nome is a 96-year-old lady who was the Big Nell of Nome. She's still there. Claire Trevor is still alive. She is. She's still there. I'm serious. I'm using Claire Trevor only because she played that role in many, many movies. Nothing personal. It's a fact. And so here's this lady up there. And by the way, her name is Madge, in case you're curious. And she just used that name. Everybody came to Madge's place. And so Albro B. Gregory and a lot of guys go up back of these places that are sinking into the sands up there, and they dig up things. And he says, you wouldn't believe the stuff you did. You actually dig up garters. You know, the kind, yeah, he says, you do, you really do. He says, you dig in that permafrost, because you see, the thing about that area up there geographically is that it's, you know, it's very cold up there. It doesn't happen like here. They don't get a lot of rain like we get. And which tends to rot things. So this and the soil up there is kind of sandy and everything. So ultimately, this stuff is thrown out in the back and it just slowly sinks down and the permafrost is there and it's all laying there. He says a friend of his, for example, one day went out there. There was a place way up on 15 Mile, which is 15 miles out of Nome. See, everything is up there figured by miles, how far it is from Nome. He says he was at Camp 15 one day digging away, and there'd been a brothel up in this area. And so he was digging away, and he says, what do you think he come across? And I said, what? He says, he came across a genuine Frontier Model 44 ball-type pistol. It was just in the sand there. He just dug it up, and he says, it's in absolutely perfect condition. He said, it didn't even rust. Because, you know, things don't rust much up there, see? So he says, there it is. He says, so naturally, this stuff, you know, lures guys on. He said, and so they'll dig up. He says, and among other things, they'll dig up elegant lamps. You know, these people went a great deal, you know, for kerosene lamps, of course, were the big things. They didn't have electricity up there. In fact, electricity didn't come to Nome till, you know, in fact, a lot of areas up there still isn't, see? And so they'll dig up these magnificent big glass lamps that are have just been tossed out, you know, and the place was finally went out of business and all that. The people took some of the furniture and that. The other stuff, they just threw it out, you know. So here it is, up there, picture frames. They'll find these fantastic gilt picture frames. And here's a picture of this nude. This stuff is actually dug up there continually. This is like digging in the MGM back lot. Only instead of, you know, fake stuff, you find the real thing. And among other things, did you hear what I found up there? I'll tell you what I found. This is actually what I found up there. The stuff is still laying around up there, and the whole antique syndrome has not yet hit Alaska. See, here in the States, down here, everybody's collecting stuff like, they're even collecting old gold cigarette cartons, you know, from 2 years ago. Already they're, $8 down these little joints down on McDougal Street, you know. Anything for a buck. But up there, that stuff is not considered antique. Nothing's antique unless it looks like a mastodon up there. Yeah, then they say, well, that's pretty old. Outside of that, you know, it's all there. So I was up there's a place up there, a creek, which is just north, or rather just south of Nome. It's about 18 miles out of Nome, way back in the tundra. And there's a guy running a gold dredge there. All by himself, he and his son. And he's run this dredge on this creek for over 40 years. What the dredge does, really, is just go sort of walking up the creek, if you can imagine a kind of a boat, that scoops the bottom up
and it just shakes it all up and runs it through a strainer, and then, you know, what's gold is finally silted out. He's earned a living doing it. 40 years. And I climb up on the dredge, and he's up there. He's got a giant white beard. He actually does look like Gabby Hayes. And he's running this thing. Bah, it's roaring. And I said to him, I said, hey, I'm curious. Do you ever dig up anything? You know, do you ever see anything out here from the old days? He says, yep. That's just what he said. He says, yep. I said, well, what, for instance? He's, well, you see over there in the corner. And, of course, this dredge had a room on it, and I was in this room, you know, the control room. And he said, over there in the corner, he said, just dig that up two weeks ago. And I said, what is it? He said, well, you know, he said, about 1901 or 1902, he said, there were a few miners come up this way, and they used to pan. He said, and here, there's one of their pans. He said, dug a pan up there. And by God, there was a pan in the corner. And big, flat pan. I said, you're not kidding. He said, no. He said, they haven't used that kind of pan for maybe 50 years. It's the kind of pan they use now. It's very different than that. And he said, that I figure that one must be from the kind it is and where we dug it. He said, 20 feet deep where we dug it out. 20 feet of silt, you know. He said, I figure that was about 1901, maybe 1895. And I said, gee, that's great. He said, well, you can have it if you want it. He said, I want no junk like that hanging around. So I picked that pan up. And there it is. It's authentic. And I brought it back. It's now, you know, hanging in my pan. An authentic pan for gold. That means I'm equipped anytime, you know, this business runs out. I know where to go. I got the tools, you know. And so he says, oh, he said, yeah, we dig up a lot of stuff. He says, all kinds of stuff comes to the surface once in a while. I said, you know, we dig up an old boot. He said, I dug up an old boot. There must have been 75 years old. Couldn't believe it. He said, come up. And I said, what'd you do with it? You threw it away. It was an old miner's boot, 75 years old, he dug up out of those days. And so right now, at this minute, I'll guarantee you, guys up in Alaska are digging up bottles. They concentrate only on beer and whiskey bottles. They throw away all the other stuff. They'll find bottles like, you know, old medicine bottles. They don't want that. Beer and whiskey. That's what they collect. And you know, they find beer bottles up there that are maybe 70, 80, 100 years old. It's fantastic. And these guys are digging in the permafrost back at Madge's place. And Madge is still there. See, she remembers when them bottles were filled. Guys were coming in saying, whiskey, Madge. And she'd pour it out, and they'd drink it down, a little gunpowder, and they'd go upstairs and, you know, talk a bit to them dancing girls after that. And by the way, there are a few of the dancing girls still around. Up and no, they really are. Well, they don't do much dancing anymore, but you'd have to talk about it if you get, you know, real friendly and close to them. But they may do a few steps for you. As you know, old fire horses never really forget fires, let's face it. There's a lot of things you don't know about, friend. Oh, a lot of things. It'd be kind of nice being with you tonight, old buddy. My God, well, not many of us, let's face it, you know. All the rest wouldn't understand what we've been talking about. They'd say, what do you mean, House of Ill Fame? You mean they didn't have a good press agent? Is that what you're talking about? Oh, no. Bringing up lies. They had a good press agent. He was the devil. That devil's been working that street for a long time. And don't forget, you have an assignment. We are on tomorrow night at 5 minutes past 10. And since it's only you and me, you better be there. Because I'm going to be...